You're listening to the Multiverse Fancast, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Multiverse Fancast. If you guys are listening to us on the go, don't forget you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and basically anywhere you get your podcast. We are so happy to have you guys here. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the studio today is Rob. Rob, how are you today?
Hello, folks. How are you today? I'm ready and willing to go forward on a moment's notice.
Usually, Rob goes second. And we also have Ronnie. Ronnie, how are you today?
I am doing amazing. How are you?
I'm living the dream, man. I am so excited for tonight's episode.
I can almost taste it.
You can almost taste it?
I want to taste it.
Do you really want to taste it?
I really want to taste it.
So I'll be honest. I'm excited about this because this is by far, and I'm not even burying the lead. I'm going to jump right into it. One of not only the best DC shows, but one of the best comic book shows, but also one of my personal favorites.
I wouldn't disagree. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and especially coming off the high of The Batman, which if you guys heard our last episode, if you haven't, multiversefancast.podbean.com or themisfitfaction.com.
You can download it, all our affiliates.
All of it. But we loved The Batman. But this, I think, is the perfect example of comic book, not even DC or Marvel, but comic book television. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But in case you guys were wondering, we are talking today Peacemaker on HBO Max. And we're very excited to talk about it.
Definitely.
But before we do that, just a little bit of house cleaning. First and foremost, if you guys are enjoying the show and you've ever thought to yourself, hey, they make it look super easy and their production isn't all that good, I could do better. If you guys are looking to start your very own podcast, not only would we love to help you get started with that, not only would we love to have you join the Misfit Faction Media Network because we're always looking for new shows and new content, but if you create your own podcast and use our code podbean.com/themisfitfaction, you'll get a free month of podcasting to prove that you're better than us. So bring it on.
Do it.
And or, because, you know, whatever. And or, if you guys are also a small business owner or you have a product or service that you offer, whether it's online, in person, now that all these restrictions are starting to get lifted, people are trying to get back into their businesses again. We also do some advertising work. In case you guys didn't know, podcasts, there are millions of them that are not nearly as good as us. So please like, comment, subscribe, share with your friends. But anyway, if you guys are looking to advertise your business, not only on our podcast, but basically any podcast that exists, if you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you will get $100 worth of free advertising. Again, that's a thank you from us to you guys, our loyal listeners. We constantly get emails and constantly get messages about people not only asking how to start their own shows, but also how to expand their own networks and their own businesses. And we are trying to grow the Misfit Faction Media Network. So please, if you guys are looking to do either of those things, reach out to us. Even if you don't want to use the codes right away, reach out to us. We'll answer questions. We'll tell you guys about the process, what we do. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Anything to add, gentlemen, who are Ronnie's playing with scissors while Rob's doing notes?
As long as he's not running with them.
And he's sitting.
I'll sit back down.
That's why we didn't get the portable mics.
I am learning pronunciations here before I jump into anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of pronunciations. All right, so that takes care of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Rob, I do believe we have some news to go through.
Yeah, I actually got a decent amount this week.
Which is weird considering last week was so dry.
Yeah, it really was. And actually, there's a lot of DC news this week, too. So
some not so good.
Some not so good, some good. First of all, and I was shocked to read this, The Penguin is officially a series now at HBO Max. I didn't realize it wasn't. I thought that was always on the board and was going to be done. Yeah. But apparently now it's officially greenlit.
Oh, official.
And all three of us, if you listened to our podcast about the Batman, you heard how much we absolutely loved Colin Farrell's Penguin. He really was a big highlight. You know, the whole movie was a highlight, but he was a huge standout just in his mannerisms, in how he disappeared into that character so much. So I know we're all looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Now, there was another HBO show they were working on, which was a Gotham City PD show. Now, that has since now morphed a little bit, and it's now more of an Arkham show. At first, the rumor was they're working on an Arkham show and a Gotham PD show, and then they revealed, oh, that's the same thing. So this is now a show, it's a Batman spinoff series, and it's going to focus solely on Arkham Asylum, which means that we may see the Riddler again, we may see the Joker, who knows who's hiding in those halls there, you know, maybe even... Yeah. Somebody from Peacemaker.
Well, unfortunately, and we'll talk about Peacemaker a little bit because it does, you know, firmly sit in the DCEU as according to. But I'm disappointed because if you guys listen to our episode on the Batman, I really wanted a Gotham PD show where it was, you know, the Gotham police, especially this version where I really enjoyed how they portrayed not only Gotham City, but also the Gotham City police. But it's a little disappointing that they changed it into this. So I'm still curious, and obviously we'll watch it, we'll review it, we'll talk about it.
One of the best things about the Batman was the police aspect, procedural aspect with, you know, with Jeffrey Wright's Lieutenant Gordon.
Yeah.
Because it was interesting. It was almost like watching a CSI kind of thing. And I'm hoping that aspect is still there to the show, but it's not going to be a big focus on the show.
The cool thing about Batman in general and the DCEU is also they can do whatever genre they want. They want to do a supernatural horror show. They can do that with Arkham. They want to do a criminal procedural. They can do that. A mystery. They can do a lot with it. And that's one of the cool things about comic book adaptations is they don't have a specific genre. Unfortunately, and this isn't a slight against Marvel, but Marvel really kind of, until they really introduced magic proper into the MCU, it was very much, this is our genre. Well, what is it? Yeah. It's Marvel. Marvel's the genre.
It's superheroes.
So the biggest news is in the DC universe is that suddenly they announced the other day a lot of moves with their movies. And not all of them are good. A lot of them are actually pretty bad.
Only one
of them is good. Yeah. So we'll focus on the good for a minute. Shazam Fury of the Gods has had their date moved up. They were originally supposed to come out in, I think, March of 2023, and now they're coming out in December of this year.
Against Avatar 2. Oh, the director had some words about that.
Don't worry. One's going to go watch Avatar 2.
He's the one?
The Shazam director.
Oh, the Shazam director. Yeah, okay.
He had some words.
I'm not going to go watch Avatar 2. I have no interest.
You have to. Your eyeballs are not ready for Avatars 2 through 5.
My issue with Avatar 2, and obviously we're still talking about Shazam, but my problem with Avatar 2 is it's been too long.
Yes.
Avatar was a technological masterpiece, but it was also, it's what started the 3D craze, and then we got burnt out. The only worthwhile 3D movie, and I'll say it right now on Multiverse Fancast.
A Christmas Carol.
That was actually a funny one. But Harold and Kumar 3D.
Yeah.
It was the only...
I'll give that to you.
The second one of the characters looks at the camera, puts his thumbs out, and says, it's going to be amazing. And he's like, who are you talking to?
I saw Alice in Wonderland in 3D, and it was not good.
They're trying to make everything 3D now. Yeah.
Luckily,
that doesn't really work.
That trend has really died down, thank God.
You know what also has died down a lot is Avatar. Mm. It's not in the public consciousness anymore. In fact, most of the kids, you know, nowadays don't even know what Avatar is.
I think it's Avatar the Last Airbender.
See, I originally saw Avatar back in 1990 when it was called Dances with Wolves.
Oh, you beat me to it. Beat me to it. But so Shazam is now coming out with it.
Yes.
Which is very interesting because Black Adam got pushed back.
Yeah, Black Adam was supposed to come out at the end of July. The League of Super Pets now has taken that spot. So that got pushed because that was supposed to come out, I think, in May. And now that's coming out July 29th. Black Adam.
Keanu Reeves is Batman.
Yes, that's pretty cool.
I don't know. Anyway, Black Adam got bumped from July to October 21st. And then that bumped. What it got bumped out then? I'm missing something.
Flash?
Oh, The Flash. That's right. And The Flash now is going to be bumped to March 17th of 20... I'm sorry, June 23rd of 2023. And they also bumped the Aquaman sequel to March of 2023. So a lot of movement.
This is going to have a lot of repercussions. The Batgirl TV show is currently filming with Michael Keaton's Batman in it. We're going to have lots of questions because he was supposed to be introduced in The Flash. Are they going to push that back next? So the problem you're going to run into is the biggest question is going to be why. Why is it happening? Now, we could speculate all we want. In all honesty, it used to be easy to speculate on this because of COVID.
Yeah.
COVID was like the biggest reason why big movies, like No Time to Die, got pushed back like 3 times. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, you know, oh, because of COVID. Batman and Spider-Man have proven that people are ready to go back to the movies and people are ready to fill up the... We didn't even have a full theater when we went to go see, but that movie, Batman, made so much money.
Yeah.
Doubled its budget. Money. Yeah. In its opening weekend, and it's only going to make more. I don't think Batman's going to have the big drop-off like some of these other films have had. Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be under 60%.
Word of mouth alone.
Yeah.
And people who... Rewatchability. That movie has a lot of rewatchability.
I will say this. The only reason it might have a big drop-off this weekend is because last weekend's grosses included the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday grosses. And so it was very front-loaded in terms of the way they reported those grosses. So we'll see what the drop-off is.
Sneaky. Yeah. But... I think there's going to be reshooting done for these movies based on the Batman success.
You think it's also going to do probably with the timeline? Because we know the Flash is experiencing the whole Flashpoint and everything. So do we think they're trying to not do Flashpoint and then have the other movies come out and be like, but what happened to Flashpoint? So I wonder if that was their thinking too, is let's get these movies out. And then from Flashpoint, everything changes, and then we can go in a different direction instead of flip-flopping back and forth.
So right now, the DCEU contains the Peacemaker Season 2, Batgirl, and then the before-mentioned movies. We had Shazam, Black Adam. Black Adam, I don't think, is a bigger issue because it takes place in, like, the 1920s?
Yes.
You know, with the Justice Society and all that. So I don't think anything's going to be really affected by the Flash. But I do think that they are going to try and find a way to introduce Robert Pattinson's Batman into this universe. That is my theory. He made all the money, the most positive.
Yeah.
Arguably, since Christian Bale, the best reviewed Batman. Say what you will about Ben Affleck, my boy.
We'll say all the things we want about
him. You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy, Ben. So it's an interesting time to be a DC fan. And unfortunately, as a DC fan, it makes me really worried.
Yeah.
Let's
go over to Marvel, the House of Marvel now. So it was just released that Sean has been attached as director for Deadpool 3. Now, who is Sean Levy, you might ask? Well, he's got a movie that just came out today on Netflix called The Adam Project with Ryan Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you right now on Rotten Tomatoes, The Adam Project is sitting at a favorable 69%. That is, you know, it's...
IGN gave it a 9.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's still enough to recommend.
I'm curious to see what the audience score is going to be.
He's a big Ryan Reynolds guy.
And that's the other thing too, is he's worked Free with Guy? Ryan Reynolds. He directed Free Guy, which was received very, very well. I mean, he's got some other, you know, he did one of the Night of the Museums. He did Real Steel.
Yep.
Was that the Hugh Jackman movie?
Yeah.
He did Date Night. Ooh. So his, and oh, the original Night at the Museum. So he did the Pink Panther. Oh, God.
Say what you will about that movie. I do chuckle at certain scenes.
I refuse to watch it just because you can't remake the Pink Panther. That's not allowed.
True. That's fair.
He did do Just Married, though. I laughed at that movie. That's a funny one. So he's got a track record. Now, here's the thing is,
he did
too.
Fist Fight?
I love Fist Fight.
What's Fist Fight? I don't even know that.
With Ice Cube and Charlie Day?
They play two teachers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I never saw it, but I know it.
Surprisingly good.
Here's the thing about Sean Levy that's good is that he is someone who knows how to work with Ryan Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all agree that means Deadpool 3 is going to be directed by Sean Levy, and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
So because Ryan Reynolds has a decent amount of input, and that's not a bad thing. He's very, very good
comedic at timing, yeah. understanding of the character. Yep. Just he's also very quick witted, and let's face it, Ryan Reynolds is a national treasure, and I want to see. I would see almost anything he's in. Just Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would see anything he's
just
in.
Friends.
I gotta say, I even enjoyed Blade Trinity because of him.
He was he was one of the highlights in that.
So, other Marvel news, we have some sort of official order of things for Marvel Television. We found out that after Moon Knight, the next thing that's coming out is going to be She-Hulk. Now, right now, She-Hulk they've reserved a venue in Hollywood for June 2nd for an undisclosed premiere. We can only assume that that is She-Hulk, and if that's the case, that they're going to do the same schedule with Moon Knight, where they have that a week before the official preview. That means She-Hulk is probably coming out on June 9th. So that'll be playing into the summer, which means it'll be immediately followed up by Ms. Marvel. So that's all good news for television. Other television stuff, we got this. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this too much. So apparently there is a Werewolf by Night Halloween special that they're working on. The information is a bit vague about it. So
very obscure character.
Yeah, Werewolf by Night is the name applied to two fictional characters who are werewolves appearing in the American comic books that is published by Marvel. It appeared years ago. So they are definitely working on this. We don't know what it is exactly. Now, we're being told it's coming out for a Halloween, but there's also rumors it might be coming out for this Halloween. And that there's also rumors that this might introduce Blade into the MCU as well. The good news is that Michael Giacchino, who did the music for The Batman, is said that he wants to be involved in this as well. So that's always good news. So this is, it's a curious project. We don't really know what it's going to be or how it's going to show itself, but it sounds like it's going to be a good news for the universe of Marvel. And I think that's all the news.
All right. Thank you, Rob. And Ronnie, good job. Just in general.
Ronnie's the real MVP here.
Well, Ronnie's wearing a Misfit Faction shirt. If you guys are interested in buying your own Misfit Faction apparel, you can go to misfitfaction.com and check out the Misfit store at any point. Now, let's get into a little bit of the appetizer for today's episode before we take our
break.
We
got mozz sticks?
No. We wouldn't be recording if I had mozzarella sticks, man.
All right, hold on. Before we start, what is the appetizer you're most looking forward to at your upcoming NUP?
Pigs in a Blanket's hit. Just say it.
Actually,
for those of you who don't know, Ronnie is getting married in a week.
So, actually, it's mini chicken cordon bleu. I love chicken cordon bleu.
Yeah.
But also, there's also going to be mac and cheese.
All right, good.
All right, there you go.
Are you doing is it stations? Like, what was it?
Stations. Some stations and some past.
Okay, very nice.
I promise I won't edit this out.
Mini cordon bleus.
Yeah.
So we're going to go around initial thoughts, non-spoiler initial thoughts of Peacemaker as a whole. We'll start with the person who watched it most recently, because I'm curious and I'm hosting, Ronnie.
So I thought this was great. I think it might be my favorite comic book show, whether Marvel or DC, that we've had in a long time. I'm still debating if I prefer this over Arrow, to be honest with you, because Arrow's always been my number one show.
Well, haven't you heard that Green Arrow dresses like a furry?
Yeah. Is that a spoiler?
Not yet.
So it's either one or two for me in the past, I don't know, 10, 12 years or so, let's say, for comic book shows. And then all the payoffs that we get at the end of the series is great. At the end of the season is great. And I can't wait for us to talk about who our favorite characters are, because I feel like we're all going to be different, but they're all going to be like, oh, that's my second one. And I'm just excited to see where we go with this, because, again, I have fresh eyes. I finished it yesterday, so Thursday. We're recording on a Friday, and I watched it, two episodes.
You binged it. Yeah, you binged it.
It was great. I didn't want to stop watching it when I watched it, but, time restraints made me stop, so I am completely surprised by this.
Rob?
What the hell did I just watch? I have no idea what happened.
Some damn good television.
So, okay, getting it out of the way, let me start with the baseline with I completely enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. Now, I had originally planned to do a week-by-week write-ups synopsis of this show. HBO Max decided to dump three episodes in the first week. I to this day, have no idea why they decided to do that, because I have to say that actually worked against me. Because it was, and I've said this before, Peacemaker is a lot. It is, oh my, it is an exhausting show to the point where I can't sit and watch more than one episode at a time. I don't know how you, did you watch more than one episode at
two.
A time?
I watched two a day for like
4 days.
Call it 4 days straight, okay. Basically. But
I couldn't watch more than one a week because it was just so much. It was an assault on my eyeballs and ears in every respect. Now, I don't necessarily mean that as a bad thing. I'm just saying that it was so overwhelming and so relentless that I didn't have the fortitude and strength to write any of it up. I even had planned on doing like an overall series review of it. And I'm like, I tried so many times to sit, and I know what I want to say, so I figured I'll just say it now. But I just could not put pen to paper on this one because it's just baffling, mm-hmm. in every good sense of the way. So
you just wait until Moon Knight comes out. He'll have a full review for Moon Knight every week.
Probably. But I will say it was one of the most enjoyable shows that I watched in terms of superhero television shows. It's I definitely think that you should all give Peacemaker a chance. See what I did there?
I like it.
That was actually going to be the title of my article if I actually wrote it.
Give Peacemaker a chance. So Peacemaker is one of the most complicated, nuanced, not afraid to go balls to the wall, and surprisingly deep shows. I was very mm-hmm. much concerned. Peacemaker was a great character in the Suicide Squad, mostly because he works so well off Idris Elba's character. Because they were, you know, he does what I do, only better.
Yeah.
Like that mentality. And, you know, that very, you know, far right type character who believed that what he was doing was for the greater good. And they managed to peel back all these layers. And John
Cena.
He's
like an onion.
He is like an onion.
Or a parfait. Everybody loves parfaits.
Everybody loves parfaits.
I like parfaits more than onions. Yeah. Are we going to have parfaits?
Well done, everyone. Shrek references. But ironically, that's the second one of my week, and I don't want to talk about it. But.
Get out, me John.
Strong. John Cena. Say what you will about John Cena. John Cena, like a lot of times people called him like the knockoff Rock. Like he was trying to be like the Rock.
I mean,
man,
who doesn't?
He brought it on so many levels. And by mm-hmm. the end of this, you were in love. He was still a dick.
Yeah, explicit content is going to be happening.
There's going to be some explicit language in this one. Just mostly quotes about the show.
Yeah.
Or from the show, excuse me. But, you know, Peacemaker is not designed to be likable, but they made him likable.
Yes.
We loved him by the end. You know, he's just a big, dumb goofball, but at the same time, he does have this mm-hmm. innate sense to do what's right, mostly out of guilt.
Yeah.
And for them to go from the Suicide Squad, where they planted the seeds, they mm-hmm. planted those seeds. Peacemaker, what a joke. That was a line that was constantly said throughout the show. And, man.
Famous last words.
They brought it. And this might be one of, like I said, and I'm with Ronnie, Arrow is still maybe top, like this is definitely my top five with Arrow, Smallville, and various, but.
I would say top three with Hawkeye and Daredevil.
We're all with you.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to go character by character, spoiler by spoiler, plot by plot, but first, a quick break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Raise Energy Drinks from Rep Sports. Whether you're trying to crush your afternoon workout or just need a little extra pick-me-up, Raise Energy is just the boost that you're going to need. So if you go to repsports.com and any product that you order, enter the code MISFIT89 at checkout to receive 15% off. Anything that you guys buy from that store helps our network grow, and we fully, fully appreciate everything you guys do. That's MISFIT89 at checkout, repsports.com.
And welcome back, everyone. And we are ready. We're excited to talk about Peacemaker. Now, the plot is very simple for this show. Basically, Peacemaker, again, full spoilers, guys. This is spoilers not only for this show, but also Suicide Squad. But the show, Suicide Squad, excuse me. So the show picks up immediately from the end credit scene of the Suicide Squad with Christopher Smith, a.k.a. Peacemaker, waking up at the hospital, and he's recruited to take on a brand new enemy in Project Butterfly. And that's the show. That is literally the extent of what we get. So we're not going to talk too much about the plot. We'll mention it, but I really want to start with the cast because the cast is stellar.
So let's start with John Cena. Now,
typically.
I want to mention this because if you are someone who has just seen The Suicide Squad and said, I don't know if I want to see a series about this guy, I sympathize completely. To be honest, I was like, okay, yeah, he's good in The Suicide Squad, but spending 8 episodes and with each episode being like almost 45 minutes, it seems like a lot.
That's why Sean from Cinematic Adventures won't watch it, because he didn't really like The Suicide Squad to begin with.
Right.
So to watch a show...
And to be honest, for anyone who didn't like The Suicide Squad, this is its own thing. This is not, I mean, yes, there are some plot things, but I have to say, this is like complete, I'd say this is more James Gunn than The Suicide Squad.
Absolutely.
Is.
Yes.
He got carte blanche to do anything he wanted. And
Cate Blanchett is in this?
No, that's a different thing.
Oh.
That's a 22 Jump Street reference. I thought we had Cate Blanche. You mean carte blanche? No. Basically, James Gunn had every aspect was under his control for this, because in all honesty, it does seem like the DCEU is starting to fizzle out. So what did they have to lose? The references they make in this show, my Lanta.
Holy cow.
Let's rattle off a quick few. They mentioned Green Arrow. They mentioned Batmite of all.
Yes.
Batman, Aquaman, Flash, Wonder Woman. And Flash is referred to as by a like the kids as the Flash.
Yeah.
Right. Wonder Woman, Kite Man. Like, I'm trying to think, anybody else off the top of your heads that you guys can think of reference wise?
I don't think that's so.
Starro.
Great is that they are allowed to make those references, you know, because so many, you know, there's always so many lawyers that are like, well, you can, you know, just like, for example, think about the MCU. For the longest time, they were not allowed to say the word mutant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the lawyers. And for this, the lawyers were like, hey, you can do whatever you want. Yeah.
So Warner Brothers was always in a very unique spot where they owned all of DC Comics. Warner Brothers bought DC years ago, and they were always allowed to basically use it however they wanted. They were always of the opinion that fans would get confused. Smallville was not allowed to mention Batman or Wonder Woman. They found one or two workarounds, like they referred to a billionaire with awesome toys and a wondrous woman that'll throw you for a loop. I'm not even joking. Not even joking. That was an actual line. So for the longest time, DC would not allow certain characters to be mentioned, especially Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Those were their big three. And it's crazy now that we're in a time where technically, the DCEU is running longer than Marvel because they introduced shows like the 90s Flash and Smallville into their main continuity via the multiverse.
So their extended universe goes way further back.
But that's retroactively. Yeah, and I will be the first. I will be the first to admit it.
They're gaslighting us.
A little bit. DC, in all honesty, was more known for its multiverse than Marvel really was. It wasn't until the Ultimates editions that Marvel's multiverse really kind of came into the forefront. So DC's always been doing it. It's just finally nice for them to acknowledge it. Because apparently Batman from The Batman is Earth 2, they're saying.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense because Earth 2 was designated by Crisis on Infinite Earths for the Star. I think we talked about this.
Yeah, we did.
Because he yelled at me last week.
No, I didn't.
I made a Deadpool reference about the timelines.
Oh, these timelines are so confusing. But let's go back to John Cena. To think that he would be the heart of this show in so many ways... Yeah. Man, I can't even begin to describe how much I enjoyed watching him in this show.
He really throws himself 100% into whatever he does.
Yes.
Like whether it's on a wrestling mat, in a teen sex comedy.
Blockers?
Yes.
Blockers was really funny. That movie had no right to be so funny.
He really does put 110% in everything mm-hmm. that he does. And you could tell that his heart is in it, which is really cool. And I think he has found sort of a soulmate in James Gunn here, too, with his Peacemaker. So,
and also, I think it helps that Peacemaker was such an obscure character that he could add so much of himself to it. Like, say what you will about characters like Captain America or Thor. You can only do so much with it. Thor, they've gotten away with now, mm-hmm. now that Chris Hemsworth, his comedic timing is like, they're like, he's actually really funny. Let's make him funny. Peacemaker.
Ghostbusters.
my cat. But anyway, for us, like, it's interesting because Peacemaker, and he was an obscure character that didn't have a big following. Like, he was known, like, I knew of him, but I didn't know him, like, well enough to articulate much. But, you know, John Cena really makes it his own. And also, I think there's a lot of comparison between the two that he's able to kind of really combine both his acting, his comedic chops. Who knew he was so funny?
Yeah.
Blockers was the first time I saw him be really funny.
I think anyone from the WWE needs to be intensely funny.
Yes. But Ronnie, any thoughts on John Cena's piece?
Again, I think it was like, when we saw him, we've seen him in more, I guess, like serious roles, you can say, other than Blockers. So it was nice to kind of see like a funny side of him. And it works well. Like we said, I think it's perfect casting for him. And and the chemistry that he has with not only James Gunn, but this entire cast. Yeah. Like, it's
an ensemble.
It's great to watch them all interact with each other, and just the way they play off of each other, it makes it seem a little bit more realistic. And, you know, like, if that was a real situation, that's how people would be towards each other, instead of it seeming like a little forced usually.
This is also the perfect example of a normal guy, quote unquote, being in this super world and just how he would react. And also,
because he doesn't have any superpowers.
No, I think the biggest thing, and I don't know if this is going to cause some controversy, but I'm going to say it. The biggest thing is how much of a jerk he really is. Mm-hmm. That is, they did not, James Gunn went on record saying, I'm not going to make him likable. He's not supposed to be, but he is going to become likable when we learn
because
about
him. Because you kind of learn his backstory in this, because you don't know his backstory from the Suicide Squad. You kind of got his backstory about the childhood trauma that he went through to kind of make him like this. He's basically like this because he got brainwashed by his dad.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Who is the Red Dragon.
White Dragon.
White Dragon, sorry.
It's as racist.
Red Dragon is Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, it's as racist as we can get, guys. And we will say this also. This show does not pull punches. This show does not hold back.
To be honest with you, I liked.
So, okay.
It was jarring at first. So first episode with the White Dragon character, like, we were like, oh my God.
Yeah. This show is intensely profane and incredibly offensive in a variety of ways, whether it's through its racism. I shouldn't say racism. Through its racist characters.
Yeah.
Because the show itself is not racist.
And we want to establish that there is... Peacemaker's dad is the worst written character, but I do respect the fact that the show was able to handle it and also not sugarcoat it for the audience.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is nothing sugarcoated in this show. I mean, there is...
Eagly was.
There is just brutal profanity. There is sexual descriptions. There is frontal nudity. There is, you know, John Cena in his underwear.
Aquaman and his fish.
Now, I have to say this, two things. First of all, as this show was on, I was teaching my comic book class in a public high school. I could not mention really this show at all in the slightest. The only thing I could do was show them the credits, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't. They're like, can we watch Peacemaker? No. Can we talk about it? No, not at all. No.
You can watch it on your own time.
Yes. I couldn't even really talk about it. The second thing is that I watched this show with my wife, which, you know, we laughed hysterically, in front of our 13-year-old son, which is so uncomfortable for him, I'm sure.
He saw Deadpool at 7. It's fine.
He could have walked out at any moment, but there were just... Yeah, the some of the stuff, there are so many things that you don't want to be in the same room with your parents listening to because it's just uncomfortable. But credit to him, he did it. And he loved the show. He had a mm-hmm. great time. I don't know what that says about my parenting. But.
Sounds as good.
Better than Bruce Wayne's. But anyway.
Bruce Wayne's parenting?
No, his parents.
Oh. Because we were talking about his parenting.
His parents' parenting. They did a terrible job. Not even my real dad.
Technically, he didn't even. Technically, yeah. They didn't even do a job.
So I will say my favorite Peacemaker, because he goes on a lot of diatribes, especially with Vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, though, is when he goes off about Batman and how
Batman being a.
Because the neighbor asks him, and we'll talk about the neighbor. The neighbor asks him, like, who are your bad guys? Batman's got bad guys. And he's like,
who are your rogues gallery?
And he goes off about how Batman doesn't kill, and that's why his villains keep getting out. And this was the perfect example of this show. If you guys get a chance, just if you haven't seen it, why are you listening? But anyway, it's
because they want to know. So
it's one of the best clips about Batman ever.
Yeah.
And that really, it says everything you need to know about Peacemaker in that. Going down the list, we have Danielle Brooks as Leota Adebayo. Now, this is an original character created for the show. She has no... What?
I'm just laughing because...
The Batman stuff?
No. Because every time he like pronounces any of their names...
It's always different.
And it's funny just because, I mean, some of the names, it is like, wait a second.
By the way, my second favorite Peacemaker diatribe is when he lists all the different names that could have been used instead of his dad.
Yes.
And they do the extended cut in the credits. Yep. It's hilarious.
Bill Cosby.
Ariana Grande. But Leota is the heart of this show. Like,
now,
she,
wait, you just said that about John Cena. You can't say that she's the...
They're all the heart
they
of
They can't
show.
Have two hearts.
Yes, they can.
Unless they're a cow.
There it is. She's the one
There is a cow in this.
She's for me, I find her interesting because she does parallel Peacemaker in a lot of ways. She's mm-hmm. she's thrown into this world of shades of gray with espionage and murder. Mm-hmm. And we find out that her mother is Amanda Waller, who is still alive and in continuity. And the fact that they got her back, too, for just a couple of scenes. And then she blows the whistle on Argus and the Suicide Squad and all that at the end, which was, I think, a really big moment for the DCEU. Because unfortunately, Argus and Task Force X did not get their due in the DCEU. They're a very big part mm-hmm. of the DCEU and or DC Comics in general. And it's a shame that they didn't get their time to shine. But thoughts on Leota Ronald?
Again, I think it was a nice balance between, you know, Peacemaker, you know, and what is actually right. Even though she is a little bit like her mom, they're kind of, you know, like between her and Peacemaker, I feel like they're both, you know, products of their parent and the way they were brought up. So she's kind of like that little sneaky, like go behind your back, which obviously we see with the diary and everything. But then, like you said, she does come around back on their side, but she had an ulterior motive just to kind of set him up because that's what mommy wanted. But I did love, like I said, I think just the chemistry that they all had, I think her chemistry with Peacemaker, John Cena,
unmatched. It's very good.
It set the tone from the moment.
Second best.
Second best?
For me, anyway.
Okay. Well, I think I know you're number one, but still.
Eagly?
Yeah, eagly. But that from that moment where he's like, yeah, my ego hugged me. She's like, no. And then it pays off at the end. Like, why are you staying? I saw an eagle hug a man.
It was a sign.
It was a sign. But I really did enjoy Danielle Brooks' original character, too. Yep. Not even a character from the comics. So
yeah, weird. Rob?
I don't have too much to say about her. I loved her. I she's not my favorite on the show.
No.
But that's only because there are so many others that shine so much more for me. But she is a good, solid Cypher character that helps move the plot along and plays off of the other characters very well.
Agreed.
And I should point it out this too. There are no weak links in this show,
which is crazy.
Yeah, with the amount of characters that are introduced in this, all of them are fantastic. So I have no complaints about.
I definitely
of
them. Thought she was going to be the weak link, not necessarily like from like the acting standpoint or anything, but just as a character that's always in distress. But I like how she's like, I've never killed anyone. I've never even shot a gun.
She's
and
blowing
then,
people
and
away.
And then at the freaking end of the last episode, she's like, pow, pow, rolling and shooting
the
and everything.
Torpedo helmet.
The torpedo. Oh, my God. That was great.
She's always been a good actress.
No.
She was on Orange Is the New Black.
Yes,
as a Tasty, and she was wonderful there. And I see a lot of. I don't know what her range is like because she kind of played a almost somewhat similar character here.
She's a Tony Award nominee too. So
probably for Orange. Yeah. Yeah, but she's again a good solid actor. Like mm-hmm. like sort of like what I had said a couple weeks ago about Jeffrey Wright, that you know you're gonna get a great performance when you see him up there, and I feel the same way about her.
Yeah. Now, moving on, a character that I hated to begin with, but then I thoroughly enjoyed. Freddie Strama as Adrian Chase / Vigilante. Now, to set the stage, Arrow. Arrow is a show that Ronnie and I thoroughly enjoyed.
Oh, wait. Okay.
They introduced Adrian Chase in season 7, yeah. like towards the end, one of the later seasons, and he was one of the best villains on the show. And they MacGuffined us. They had Vigilante on the show. They also had Prometheus on the show. And Adrian Chase in the comics and in this show is Vigilante.
Yeah.
But they red herringed us, and they actually had him being Prometheus.
Yes.
And it turned into one of the better seasons in a show where the seasons were kind of going up and down. So having said that, the first scene with Vigilante, I was like, what the hell? This is Adrian Chase? This is the Adrian Chase from
and he's
Arrow?
He's hiding behind the dumpster.
Yeah.
Hi! By the end of the show, Vigilante turned into, as annoying as he could be sometimes.
You're going to say the heart of the show.
No. the comedic effect of the show. The most unpredictable aspect of the show.
Well, that's because he's a sociopath.
One of my favorite scenes, though, is when he's in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he goes and sits down with the white racist redneck kind of guys, and he just starts going off. And
let's talk about what black people have done to us and why.
It is so graphic, though, that we can't repeat most of it.
We can't repeat almost the entire show.
Yeah. But then he has one of the best fight scenes, too. And unfortunately, the problem you run into. Stunt doubles do a lot of the work for superhero products, but you know, obviously John Cena, he's got a wrestling background, and it's very hard, I'm sure, to find a body double that matches him.
Looks like that.
But so my problem is for Vigilante, it's very easy to put somebody else behind the mask and just have it be the stunt double.
Yeah.
But Freddie Strama, he brings it in that fight scene, and and his comedic timing and just
my favorite moment with him is when they pull his mask off.
And
for
he
the
starts,
first time,
and he starts like, doing like,
what are you doing? Well, I'm contorting my face so they can't recognize me.
It is the most. He's the fanboy with the skill set to match.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him so much fun.
I did like when they called him, and he was like, what? Vigilante? Who's Vigilante? I don't even know that person. I've never even heard of him. But no, he definitely. I was going to say brought the comedic effect to the show, but he really. Like didn't really bring it. He just enhanced it, I would say.
As Peacemaker's third best friend.
Yeah, his third best friend. just don't tell him that. He thinks he's the second one. But I don't know. It's just the energy he put out there in the show and just the way that he just attracted and put in and gave an enhancement, like I said, to the humor in the show made it better. Because I think without him in it, it would have been a little bit drier of a show. Mm-hmm. But again, just their back and forth with him and Peacemaker, I like. It's almost like watching the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
With them, even though there's only two.
He's so goofy.
Yeah,
I loved him.
But then he picks up that sniper rifle and blows that entire family away.
Yeah.
He's mentally unhinged, and it's supposed to be the comparison. Like, how far do these? Because that's the other thing. The DCEU, we don't know. Like. It's interesting to think that these things are going on and we have no idea. Like I've said more than once, as much as I love Marvel, they have in more recent years played it safe. But this is like the Black Widow organization blowing people away.
And I would attribute that to James Gunn. I think he just completely knows how to derail DC in a good way.
Also, Vigilante is such it's so reminiscent of Super and another James Gunn product, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks. But yeah, stars all around.
So a little bit about Freddie Strama. So picture this for a minute. So think about the romantic comedies where you usually have the jilted boyfriend who was like he's the nice guy.
Ducky.
Cormac.
So, yeah, think about now He played that role in Bridgerton. I'm not sure if you guys saw Bridgerton.
We only watched the one episode with a 42-minute sex montage.
So he played like this really nice, solid prince guy that you knew was she was going to leave for the, you know, more passionate, you know, emo, moody guy. And when my wife and I were watching it, we were actually rooting for him, even though he was the straight guy. He, you know, he's the Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton kind of role in a lot of these films. He's a great actor, and he is just so goofy in this. And I love everything he does. Anytime he was on screen, he lit up the whole place.
All right, going down, I am going to apologize to this actor because, man, I'm going to ruin this. Chakwadi Awuji? As Clemson Mern.
Yep.
Again, another character created for the show. Mern does not exist in any sort of comic continuity. Mm-hmm. He is the head of this secret task force, Task Force XX.
Yeah. Double secret probation.
But Mern, we find out, is also a butterfly, and he is
from
there.
The beginning.
I know Ronnie called it from the beginning, but he is a butterfly that's turned against the rest of his kind, and he wants to stop them. Again, this is another show that really plays with the right and wrong aspects of what's going on, and even the ending's a little ambiguous with the last remaining butterfly. Yeah. But Mern was a fun character. He definitely was a plot point character. He pushed the plot forward, and he was there for a reason. I dug him though. I think, and the idea of like the butterfly going, this guy was a terrible person, and I'm trying to do some good with the worst. So I found him interesting, and I wanted to learn more about the butterfly and its history too.
Yeah,
Ronnie.
Like I said, like when they started talking about what the butterflies act like, I was like, this dude's a butterfly, you know, no showing emotion, you know, very like stoic, I guess you could say too. Like he's a butterfly. He's the inside man for the butterflies, but he really wasn't the inside man. He was, in his eyes, doing good. I mean, it depends on who you ask too. I mean, what was the butterfly's real intention? Were they going to take over? Like you heard like different stories about what exactly the butterflies were going to be doing and everything.
It's a lot like if humans invaded another world. We would all have a different reason for wanting to go, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, like he's like, we came here to make you guys better, you know? Yeah. But then they're like, well,
it is sort of an invasion of the body snatchers kind of plot to it, which I dug. That's my jam.
So it was just interesting, the whole plot and why they were here, but Mern as a character, I did not like him.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I didn't like him. I think it was just because of there was no emotion. He was like a robot in a human world, you know, and we know how much Paul loves robots, but yeah.
All right, let's move on. Speaking of robot people, Jennifer Holland is Amelia Harcourt. Now, Harcourt starts off as the very typical...
Hardcore.
Company woman. She's
Is she the one that married James Gunn?
Yep. Her and James Gunn are engaged in real life. But,
oh, they're not married yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
But she plays like the tough as nails, you know, by the books assassin type character who John Cena tries to woo. And they have some great scenes together. And she eventually does warm up. And apparently in real life, they have a group chat called the 11th Street Kids. Which
That's
is,
awesome.
You know. We didn't even mention the soundtrack to the show is phenomenal. Oh,
well, that's James Gunn.
James Gunn. But she eventually warms up and like she goes from that cold-hearted character to a little bit more open. You know, she's taking pictures of them and just kind of, and she's the one that first gives Adebayo a chance after finding out that she betrayed them. So I really dug her character. I want to see more, and I'm glad that she made it through. Rob, thoughts on Harcourt?
She was a lot of fun because of how many walls she put up between herself and Peacemaker. And it was interesting to see those walls barely crack and come down a little bit. Like she still maintained who she was. And I think that's, again, that goes back to James Gunn. James Gunn is really good about setting up laughable characters that by the time you're so far into, you know, 50 to 75% into whatever the property is, you're not so much laughing at that behavior anymore as you're like, wow, they're really vulnerable for being that way. And you start to really appreciate it, you know. And she was one of those ones that was so, like, guarded that by the time, you know, the show was starting to end, you're like, wow, she's actually very sweet and very thoughtful and like an interesting character because of how guarded she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I really enjoyed the character. It was nice. Like she was one of those that are like, I'm here to do the mission and the mission only. I'm not here to hang out and, you know, get to know you, be friendly and everything. But she kind of comes around towards the end and, you know, it kind of starts to connect with them, let loose a little bit and actually enjoy, you know, their company or whatever you want to say. But it was a great character. I did love it. And she's actually a gymnast. So she was actually...
She is, like, jacked.
Yeah. She's in very great shape. So she was a competitive gymnast, and you can see it in the way she fights. I mean, I don't know if she did all her stunts.
I know she did her stunts in the opening dance sequence.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that, because the first time we watched it, producer Melanie and I were sitting there, and I was like, and she comes out, and she just, like, does that flex. Yeah. I was like, damn, she's, like, jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, great character. But going down, we have Steve Agee as John Economos. I can say Economos, but I can't say this guy's actual last name. So he was in the Suicide Squad.
Dye beard.
So let's talk about it.
He was forced to dye his beard.
He was forced to dye his beard for.
That's why they make the jokes.
And it became a running joke. And also, they wanted it to make it. Or they wanted to make an example of how much of a bully Peacemaker really was. Mm. And it does lead to an emotional payoff, though. And mm-hmm. I liked Economos. I don't know how he was able to walk at all after breaking both of his legs. And
he didn't walk.
Didn't he fall over the fence or something?
Yeah. He was like, you're going to get hurt out there. And then he trips over the fence.
I thought it was perfect. It was, again, a great example of sometimes people should just stay behind their desk. But
Why does he have to do that? He's the one that took down Judo Master and would not shut up about it.
He is.
There are so many great moments in this show that I now feel like after talking about this, I'm like, I need to watch this again.
Yeah, I would watch this again, even if it's just the last episode. But I think we can all agree Economos is the most normal between him and Adebayo. They're the most normal people in this world of extraordinary.
Yes,
he has. What I want to argue is one of the best scenes where he has to confess his
beard
to the aliens about, you know, because he's like, you know, tell me about the person that you're living in. Well, he was like this, and he goes into this long thing about his beard and how he did it because he wanted to look younger and cooler. And it is such a vulnerable speech.
Because he also knows that
they're listening. Yeah. I think I might have actually teared up a little bit when he gave that speech because it was
well acted, well done.
Yeah. He just ripped his heart open for that. And that's James Gunn does that great. You know, that's one of his skills is he takes these sort of rejected, weird characters and makes us care deeply for them on a very vulnerable level. And makes us kind of like feel bad for them too. Like he's incredible.
Anything for Economos, Ronnie, or did Rob nail it?
Rob nailed it again. He was just the comedic timing with him too, and
the,
you know,
banter.
I think he just great. Dye beard.
Now a character that had no comedic timing, no banter, no character arc. Shockingly,
the only one,
only character with no arc, and this was a bold statement.
Cotton.
For any. Yeah. Bold strategy, Cotton. For any TV show, because every TV show works really hard to give their characters arcs and stories and progression and this, and especially the bad characters' likability.
And we're talking about Eagly.
He's the most likable thing ever. Eagly was a gem. But we
I
were
want
talking
an eagle to hug me.
I know, right? We're talking about Robert Patrick, though, as Augie Smith, aka the White Dragon. He was not designed to be likable under any circumstances. Now, I'm going to start this off by saying I love Robert Patrick. Robert Patrick is a great actor. He's been in so many things, most notably the T-1000 in Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, and...
Don't tell us. Tell them.
I'm telling them. Augie Smith is the worst character in all of television history. Not in terms of his acting, because Robert Patrick does give it 1,000%. He's a professional actor. He gives it his all. But oh my God, Augie Smith is the worst. And we've seen some terrible characters, you know, like your Law and Order SVUs and stuff like that. Oh man, the worst. Mm. In comic continuity, he is an actual character, the White Dragon.
Not the dad, though.
He is not actually Peacemaker's dad in comic continuity, though.
Yeah.
So that was written for the show. Now, apparently HBO Max was a little hesitant about the character himself and having him on there. So, yeah, he was, oh, man, he was rough. Yeah. But I think it added so much. And I hate to say it, but, like, they actually took his costume and made it not...
He was just such an awful person, just as a father, as a human being, as a racist, like Robert Patrick is, wow, he was in the Marine with
I
didn't realize he was in there with John Cena.
Yeah, he was the villain.
He was in a lot of stuff. Yeah.
I know. I remember him from The Faculty and from Terminator 2, obviously, where we all remember him.
Charlie's Angels.
Yep, Charlie's Angels.
Full Throttle, to be specific.
Oh, okay, all right. But he's been in a couple stuff.
Striptease.
Where were his eyebrows?
We don't talk about it.
Seriously, like every time I could not get past that. Every time I was looking at him,
it was his big hair that always distracted me.
Really?
Yeah.
But
his high top mullet,
his dance moves,
his dance moves,
just killing in that opening scene. But yeah, when he dies in that show, nobody shed a tear, and that was the whole point.
Peacemaker did.
Oh well, yeah, Peacemaker did.
I mean, even if you hated your dad. Ugh. I mean, you probably would still tear up a little bit, but you know what? I not that I liked the character, because obviously I didn't like the character, but I thought it was a good character to have in the show, because it shows why Peacemaker is the way he is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're growing up, you are influenced, number one, by your parents or parent, depending on how you're brought up, obviously, right? So, and who you're surrounded by. So, all he ever knew was, you know, sexist, racist, you know, all that kind of stuff. And to see if it wasn't for having this character in the show, I don't think we would have got the moments that we had at the end of the show with Peacemaker and his story and his character arc.
Okay.
So I think including this character, even though it was like hard to digest the character, I think it was important to kind of move the story along and everything with Peacemaker. So I would not take this character out.
No, if anything, the show. I applaud them for tackling it, because it is a very real world subject. It is a very sensitive subject. It is something that the world is still currently dealing with. But in all honesty, they show the realism of it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And you know, we here at the Multiverse Fancast we're very against
anti-racism.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to explain it. But I think anytime comics tackle real world issues, it can go really bad.
Like
the
Spider-Man Obama issue?
But they,
that was bad for a different reason.
They've done all sorts of things like that, but I think they managed to tie it well into the character of Peacemaker and explain a lot about who he is and why he does what he does and why he's brainwashed at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
And he really thinks that he is doing the right thing. And it is only throughout the course of the show and his friendships and his character growth that he realizes that his dad was wrong. And that's what kid can't relate to that sort of ideology, where, like, you know, Luke Skywalker still saved his dad, but this character was, and Darth Vader killed kids.
Now I have a question for you, because I remember when we first started watching this series together that you had said something about how you were not enjoying it because they were neutering Peacemaker. You said something along the line, oh no, not that they were neutering him, that they were going against his character.
So what happened in the very first episode, or one or two episodes after we watched an entire movie of the Suicide Squad, where him and Bloodsport massacred an entire camp in comedic fashion, that suddenly he's dealing with a lot of PTSD about all this.
Okay,
that was my initial issue. That it almost felt like they were hitting the brakes a little with Peacemaker, considering where he was in the Suicide Squad. But at the end of the show, it made more sense for me.
All right. So it did come together. And I think maybe that's my take on this whole show, too, is that I really feel like, because to be honest, when I watched the first episode, I remember we were all talking about it at our house, and we were all like, I don't know if we want to continue with this, because not all the jokes were landing. Like, there were so many jokes that were flying at you that some of them were like,
Marvel.
And I wasn't sure where this was going. I wasn't sure if I liked these people. I wasn't sure if I wanted to spend 7 more episodes with these people. And we almost gave up on the show. And I'm glad we didn't. So for anyone out there who is, like, considering this, give it a couple episodes and you will be thankful that you did, because it's definitely worth the investment of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. So that is the main cast, and just a couple of quick cast members, and then we'll talk about some more topical stuff. We had Annie Chang as Sophie Song. She is the main police detective, kind of following the trail of carnage. She does a great job, and then eventually she does unfortunately get taken over by
who doesn't?
Butterfly.
Yeah. We have Lachlan Monroe
yeah.
as Larry Fitzgibbon, the partner.
Yep.
Man, he's one of those actors that I loved in the early 2000s.
I was going to say, he's that guy.
He was in Dead Man on Campus, Riverdale.
Scary movie,
Riverdale.
White Chicks.
I'm going to do my best. Rizwan Manji as Jameel, a janitor who works at the hospital. And
one of the best characters.
One of the best payoffs.
Yeah. Again, one of those, that guy.
Yeah. And the scene of him going to talk to the class for show and tell was amazing. Ronnie, you want to do this name?
Nutley.
Nutley as Judo Master, who is like 4'2". And a character from the comics, he does exist in comic continuity.
Loves Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Loves his Flaming Hot Cheetos, and he's just the worst. He's a terrible person. Christopher Herodal as Casper Locke.
Captain.
He's another one of those actors. He was on Supernatural. That's where... Yes.
Is that where I saw him?
Melanie and I were watching. We're like, oh, he looks so familiar.
Van Helsing?
Yeah. Oh, really? The movie with Hugh Jackman?
I believe so.
I don't know about that.
I'll get on that in a minute. So, yeah, I didn't realize he was in Supernatural. Yeah, all right, so that's where I know him.
He played Alistair in Supernatural while. Yeah. Now let's talk about we got some guests. We got to talk about Mel Tuck as Augie's elderly neighbor who kills it in what's it called? You also have Lenny Jacobson as Lenny and Allison Araya as Amber. I'm not even going to do these. But anyway, let's talk about the big cameos. We do have at the end.
Yeah, and if you haven't watched the show, skip this part right now because it's definitely worth the payoff. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We have the cameos from the Justice League who are referred to by name. They do say maybe we should call in the Justice League. So that means the Justice League does exist in this continuity. Yeah. And it is Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and The Flash. And
we should say that Superman and Wonder Woman are kept in the shadows, so we don't really see their faces.
Now, also,
but
they're not them.
Having said that, too, there was a lot of Instagram posts about this after it came out. Apparently, there was a body double for Batman and Cyborg.
Really?
They were originally in it. It was shot. They did get edited out. Nobody knows why at this point. I know actor Ray Fisher and Warner Brothers have had a lot of issues.
Probably because the active movies we have out there are for The Flash and Aquaman. We don't have an active.
But Ben Affleck is going to be in The Flash movie, which is a big thing. But I think that because of the...
Well, it wasn't Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot.
No.
In there. They already said. So, I mean, I guess they didn't need it, but I think it would just be weird to have, you know, the fish fucker and...
There's your explicitness right there. Wow.
And now we're labeled.
There it is. But it is probably one of the best payoffs to the entire show. Because after the final battle's done, the Justice League shows up and they have Jason Momoa and Ezra Miller reprising their roles. And it is just perfect.
And I have to say, my wife is vehemently anti-DC, current DCEU. And she said, and she loved the show, but she said, you know what? If the show had the attitude towards, you know, Aquaman and The Flash that James Gunn has, and he just ran everything, she would totally be into the DCEU. They take themselves so seriously. But again, as I don't want to say, you say it.
What?
Fish
what?
Fish sticks? Fornicator?
Fish. labeling Aquaman as a fish fornicator. Like, it was so great to just say, like, you know what? These people are not as serious as we've been taking them. It's okay to joke about it. And James Gunn can do that.
And these are all the conversations we would have in real life.
Yes. And if DC just handled themselves that way, I think we would all be a lot happier with them.
But I'll then argue, we loved the Batman.
We did.
And there was 4 jokes in that entire movie.
Was it that many?
That's me being optimistic. But I will always say that DC needs to learn that their characters, every movie can have a different tone.
Yeah.
And then the fun is, because unfortunately with Marvel, the tone is very similar. So when you come together for an Avengers movie, it feels like the natural tone.
Right.
I would be totally okay with them doing a Superman Batman movie where the whole point is that they conflict in their tones because they conflict in their ideologies.
Now, I think that has changed in recent years of Marvel, hence what, like Taika Waititi's stuff, you know, with Ragnarok, where that was a different tone than everything.
But the second Thor landed back with the Avengers, he still had a very similar...
Yeah, like agreed. I think it's only recently, and that's why I'm excited for, like, say, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, because that seems like a very horror tone.
Yeah.
So I think it's only recent, and that's, you know, remember the MCU started in 2008.
Still just dipping their toes.
Yeah, I would agree with you that there's a lot of similarity Marvel to Marvel.
And I would much rather prefer that if DC's going to do their thing, have different tones for everything, and then explore the conflicting tones. Batman and Superman, as good of friends as they are in the comics, the whole point of them is that they are two opposite ends of the spectrum. Are
the immovable, what is it? The
immovable object meets an unstoppable force.
There it is.
Yeah. But I think having the Justice League cameo, and also it does solidify where this show stands in the DCEU, and that the DCEU isn't gone. And I hope that they find more ways to...
What is Peacemaker called?
I forget. He's like...
He says, you're late, you dicks.
Yeah, something along those lines. And again, biggest payoff, because the entire show, he's making up these wild stories about other heroes.
Yeah.
We mentioned, obviously, they mentioned Aquaman. Right. He says things about The Flash, about Wonder Woman. He does a great tirade about... Green Arrow, who is, I guess, in continuity, which is
I suppose
really cool.
So. Yeah. It's the Berlanti-verse meets the DCEU. So.
Well, technically, that Oliver Queen does exist in the DC, but apparently Stephen Amell, he tweeted like a response to it, and it was very funny. And then finally to get a payoff where he actually says it to Aquaman's face. He doesn't care.
And the Flash is like,
it's not a rumor. Barry. But apparently, and this is another fun fact, at an interview or like some sort of press release, I think it was for the Batman, Jason Momoa went and a reporter like tried to get his attention. He goes, I heard you fish. And he's like, oh. And then he came back later and he gave him a fist bump. He's like, that was a good one. That was a good one. Because Jason Momoa is just a cool dude.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad he was game for this.
Yeah. And I'm glad, you know, because he's still very passionate about Aquaman, just like how Ezra Miller, say what you will about the Flash movie production, Ezra Miller's been the first one to be like, I want to do this. I want to do this. Yeah. Like, come on, let's go. But Peacemaker. Wow. What a show. What an adventure. Because we're back to Star City ratings because it's Bat Month is over.
Before we do Star City ratings.
Yeah.
Favorite character?
Yeah, I was going to go back to that too.
Eagly. I'll say it.
Okay. Rob?
I want to go with Adrian Chase just because he is so likable. But I also want to go with John Economos because he's just so vulnerable.
Because he's Rob.
It's me.
If you were in the show, if Rob was a character.
I think because, you know what? I think John Economos, just because he is not a... At least with Adrian Chase, he can be... There are some people who would view him as an interesting and attractive individual, whereas John Economos is... There's nothing society says about him. You know, he's sort of the troll that lives in a lot of their parents' basements. Mm-hmm. And to come out and have that speech about why he dyed his beard, it gets me every single time in the feels. And I just love him so much for that, because he is such a... He's a character who hurts so deeply, and that's what James Gunn is so good about. He makes these unlikable,
Yondu,
vulnerable characters just so likable to the audience, and that's what he did with Economos for me. Yeah. Ronnie, how about you?
I'm really sorry. Like that John's last name is Economos.
Yeah, Economos,
not Economos.
I'm going to pronounce it in the Greek way and say Economos.
Yeah. Ronnie, go ahead.
I, I will say Economos as well. yeah, no, I really did enjoy Dyebeard, to be honest. Dyebeard, yeah. Yeah. It's between him and Peacemaker, actually.
Yeah.
I think just because of the character arc and that we get from him. And he's, you know, because he does start to kind of come around to the good side of things, quote unquote. But it's a toss up between those two, with Vigilante not too far behind.
How about you, Paul?
For the record, Eagly, even though he is my favorite character, it's really actually, I love John Cena's Peacemaker. I was engaged with his story. I enjoyed his story. And I really want to see where this story goes. And I want to see, because with Argus and Task Force X being exposed at the end of this, where does a former Suicide Squad member go? Is the implant gone from his head? Belrive. Is there going? I would love to see a story about him breaking into Belrive. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. Or like almost on Cinematic Adventures, we were talking about the Arkham games for when we did our Batman episode. Right. I would love to see him invading Arkham Asylum to kill the inmates there. You know, Batman couldn't do it, so I could see something like that, and him getting trapped in there.
But only if he has a Dove of Peace on his.
Gotta have that Dove of Peace. But I really don't. Mm-hmm.
So, we want to go Star Excuse City me. Ratings now?
All right.
Star City ratings for Peacemaker, I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Wow.
It is
high.
Almost, for a TV show, right? It's hard to put it, because it is so unique in the TV genre with superhero stuff. You know, my biggest complaint about things like What If or even Black Widow most recently was that they held back.
And absolutely.
This show holds nothing back. This show feels like the DCEU has been around forever, and now's the time to make fun of it.
Oh yeah!
And this show, it goes no holds bar.
Oh, it has an effort kind of mentality to everything. Yeah.
And this is what the DCEU should be. You do a show like this, but then on the flip side, you do it. This was like the Deadpool of DC right now.
All right, so I have a question based on that.
Hit me.
Do you think the Penguin should be unfiltered?
No, because unfortunately his character is still rooted in this PG-13 world. Mm-hmm. It would be jarring for him to be that unfiltered.
But he's such a gangster.
Yeah, but he says sweetheart a lot.
Sweetheart!
I don't mind if they wanted to go with that rated R, but I don't think the Penguin himself could be rated because it just wouldn't match the character we saw in this previous movie, where he, even though he's a gangster, he still considers himself to be an upper-class gangster.
Yeah, okay.
That's not Good even point. A joke. That's just
No, him. That's I'm laughing because it's true, because he really does think himself that way.
He sees himself better. If they want to introduce another character that drops those bombs in an HBO Max, that would make sense.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with it. Ronnie, Star City rating.
I'm going to agree with you. 4.5 for this. I think just the chemistry between everyone is phenomenal. You know, everyone has their moment to shine. And, you know, the jokes hit when they're supposed to hit. The timing of the comedy is great. But it also has that sensitive kind of drama to it as well. There's, I don't know, it's just nothing to change about this, but obviously, it's not like a perfect 5. So I'm excited for season 2 of this whenever they decide.
You really want to taste it.
That it's going to happen. I can't wait to see where it goes. I love the connection to the DCU and everything like that, just to keep everything, you know, together. I think between this and the Batman, I think DC is starting to make its move to be on the correct path that it should be going.
Yeah.
Rob?
I just hope that it doesn't try to mimic the success of the MCU. If it could be its own thing. And that's actually one of the things that I was reading just recently about the Batman, that it's its own thing, and that's good. It should be. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that Peacemaker continues in that same vein. I'm between 4 and 4.5, so I'm going to split the difference and go 4.25, because for me, the jokes didn't always land. There were some moments where it was just, I felt they were just joking for the sake of it. I felt that there were times where it was, someone say something? There were times where I thought it was reveling a little too much in its being crude. Not that that's necessarily bad, but I didn't think it was always for the sake of the characters or the plot. There were a couple of moments that didn't always ring true. I will say that the show got significantly better as it went along. I think some of the beginning episodes it had trouble finding its footing, but it definitely found its footing and it knew what it wanted to be by the end. So I want to give it 4.25, and mostly I think that's because of James Gunn. I think DC needs to give more reins to auteurs like Matt Reeves, like James Gunn, who have a vision and run with it, because I think too many times they kind of compromise their vision in committee where they do something, I'm thinking of Justice League with Joss Whedon's Justice League, where that was made almost by committee, where I think if they allow the auteur to do his or her own thing, I think it can be very successful, and don't worry about it fitting into the larger picture. Let it be its own thing. So I highly recommend Peacemaker.
Love it. So before we wrap up, we do have Fan Feedback Friday. What is a superhero movie that deserved an Oscar? And which one? So, from our friend Sean from Cinematic Adventures, make sure you check out his podcast. Yours truly, too. But he has The Dark Knight for both Best Picture and Director. I do believe that that is the general consensus among most fans, including somebody named Ronnie.
Nolan needs an Academy.
Our friend John Fatakis, for those of you guys who don't know, John has a podcast called Hey Pal, What's New? I'm a big fan, so please, if you guys have some time, check him out. Tell him that we sent you, and also remind him about Fun Fact Fanny Packs, because he did a shout-out to that on his show tonight. It was the funniest thing. The black and white version of Logan. I totally forgot that they released the black and white version of Logan. And for best adaptation, the series is impossible to translate to film, and they did what that movie and what they did with that movie is a miracle. I do agree. Logan is a fantastic movie, and I think, did we do an episode on Logan? I want to say we did.
I feel like we did.
We've talked so much about Logan, it feels like we have. It's such a good Western.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, an adaptation of that in its entirety from the comics would be nearly impossible.
Yeah.
But it is fantastic. From Rob's film class, Doctor Strange for visual effects, Infinity War for art direction, The Batman for art direction, Birds of Prey for art direction and cinematography. Birds of Prey would be a fantastic HBO Max show. Yes.
I think Birds of Prey didn't get enough attention and credit for what it did.
Because it should have been called Harley Quinn. That was a bad marketing. Doing the Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of one Harley Quinn. In all honesty, if they just called it Harley Quinn, they would have gotten butts in the seats. Yeah. But, and then I put Spider-Man No Way Home. It should have at least gotten a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
For you who? Think so?
I would have argued Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe kind of has done some really good work.
I wish they had a Best Villain category because they're not always supporting actors per se. But I think a Best Villain.
I think another one, which obviously I didn't put up there, is Winter Soldier. For Best Picture.
Mm. Winter Soldier would have been a good one.
Because I think arguably, I think it's the best comic book movie we've ever had.
I would argue the Snyder Cut for visuals in some capacities. I do think, especially considering it wasn't done.
I have one that I didn't get a chance to put up, and I would argue this one vehemently. Robert Downey Jr. for Endgame. Because I really feel like no one will ever think about Iron Man with associated with anyone else ever again, and to pull that character to the full arc of who he became by the end there, and to make it so believable that he is someone that would snap away his own life. That's just,
especially considering Tony Stark in the comics is a terrible
I think that's the problem. Well, there's two problems with that. Is the people that are doing this don't know about any of that.
About comic book movies?
Like that's one problem. And the other problem is with a movie like that where you have 100 A-listers, like how can you say one outshines the other without knowing the whole history? That's the only challenge I see. And again, that's a challenge that we see just in general with the Oscars. Superhero comic book movie really gets nominated for these big awards. It's always just visual effects and makeup.
Even this year, too.
And that's it. You know, while it's like Dark Knight, you know, again, between Dark Knight and Winter Soldier, you know, they're 1A, 1B for best movies of all time, you know, comic book wise.
Black Panther's the only one that ever got nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, which...
That's it. And it didn't win.
No.
They always go for visual effects. And, you know, like Suicide Squad, which got, you know, makeup and hairstyle. Hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Suicide Squad's an Academy Award. Oh,
the Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad.
Yeah. And you guys knock it.
I'd even argue Batman vs. Superman, best costume design. The Batman suit is fantastic. Yeah. The shot of the Batman suit in the display case where he's like it even looks angry.
Yeah.
If only we had planned a show coming up in the next couple of weeks about the Academy Awards and superhero movies.
It's so weird how I did Fan Feedback Friday specifically for this. But anyway.
Why? What are we doing?
Don't worry about it. But we would love to hear your thoughts, not only on Peacemaker, but also Fan Feedback Friday every Friday. Ronnie, what are some ways that people can interact with our show?
Well, obviously on Fridays, check the Facebook for Fan Feedback Friday, but also check it during the week to get links to our podcast as well as whatever else we decide to post, pictures, memes, whatever it may be. Also, check out Instagram as well, The Misfit Faction, and then most importantly, the website, themisfitfaction.com, where you will get access to all of those things, our Facebook, our Instagram, all the different articles that have been written by Rob and by Paul, as well as content for our shows and our merch store, where you can buy t-shirts for all three shows and for the Misfit Faction as well as little stickers for your laptop or wherever you really feel like placing them.
Lower within back. You know, parental advisory.
It's my lower reasonable. Back tattoo is just our
they
logo.
Can do whatever they want.
Also, don't forget, guys, we have a brand new group on Facebook called the Misfit Fashion Media Network. It is a specified group. It is a private group, but all you have to do is just request an invitation to it and we'll let you in. It is a community, guys. We want to try a conversation, discussion, arguments within reason, and we're trying to get as many people. And also, there are other podcasters in there, some good chance for you guys to check out some other shows.
And also, if you guys have any topics you would like to have us discuss, whether it's for Multiverse or for MF Uncensored, shoot it our way and we'll give you a little shout out and, you know, for giving us the topic.
Yes, we will. Or we won't. I don't know.
We will.
Okay. But that is going to wrap us up for tonight. Thank you guys for joining us. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Ronnie.
And I'm Rob.
And we will be back in a flash.
See ya.
It's eagerly for Smorgasbord.
I only left it this time because he threw such a fit last week when I hit stop. Have a great night, guys.